Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
Amen.
In a moment. You see that? In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. This change we're going to deal with tonight is quick. It is fast. It's in a moment. And the Bible says at the last trump, so you recognize that from this morning, I believe.
Amen.
That's the rapture. And when that rapture takes place, Jesus comes, descends down to a portion in the air, and he calls his believing children home or to be with him. He immediately, right then, changes them to a glorified body. That body comes out of the grave, and it's no more corruptible, but it's incorruptible. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal, and by the way, we are mortal, we're going to die, or either we're going to be changed when he calls, hopefully we're around when that happens, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? You know, you've lost people, loved ones. There's a sting to death. It hurts. Everyone has lost a person in their family, mother or dad. There's a sting to death. It causes pain. But the Bible says, O grave, where is thy victory? Right now, the grave is victorious over the body. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It should be exciting for the saved that one day we are going to get a glorified body. As I said this morning, I believe the next big event on God's calendar is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the rapture. Not the second coming now, but the rapture. He's not going to step on this earth. He's going to come back, descend to a portion or a part in the air. He's going to descend, and he's going to say, come up hither, according to Revelation 4:1. There's going to be a trump. And probably Michael, the archangel, will be with him. Notice now, the Bible says nobody else. The Lord himself. I like that.
Amen.
With the voice of the archangel. You're not going to see anybody else. You're not going to see Mary with him. You're not going to see a Baptist preacher with him. You're not going to see a Methodist preacher with him. It's Jesus Christ, and if he has anyone else with him, and the Bible is pretty clear on that, it's going to be an angel. And that angel's going to be there, but it's the Lord himself that's coming back to get us. Now, we are a triune being made up of the body, the soul, and the spirit. Now, when you got saved and I got saved, God put a new spirit in our body. In other words, the old human spirit was not saved. God changed that. And now we're still threefold creature, but you're a body, soul, and spirit. But you have the Holy Ghost of God in your body. Now, a new spirit is put within the body, but we still have that old body, don't we? I'm not satisfied with this old body, folks. I'm not. I'm looking forward to that new glorified body. And I'm going to show you some things I hope will stir your heart tonight. Now, the rapture of the church, our body will be changed.
Amen.
Now, during my ministry, I've had a lot of people ask me, Brother Paul, what kind of body are we going to have? A lot of folks are interested in that. I think for one reason, we don't like the body we have too much. That thing gives us a fit sometimes. Amen. We try to keep it under control, and we have trouble. We find out we want to diet, and we gain weight. We love to eat, don't we? But then when we eat, then we have to go back and cut back because we gain too much, or somebody said you need to put on some weight. Most of us don't have that trouble, do we? But this body, I'm looking forward to that body where I don't have to worry about that. Amen? Boy, it's good to be saved. It's good to be on the winning side. And I'm glad I'm going to heaven. How about you? Boy, if the Lord Jesus Christ came back tonight, gone, man. You know, he might just come before this revival ends. I don't have a date. I don't know when he's coming back, but the Bible says he is. That's good enough for me. Now, I'm going to look at several things tonight. Number one, our glorious body, number one, will be like the body of Christ. Will be like the body of Christ. Now, I don't have any bookmarks tonight, so just if you want to turn with me, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. And if you don't want to turn, just write them down or keep them in mind. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. See, that's the difference. I'm going to take my time, but I'm going to preach it, and I hope that we can use our Bible, and it'll be exciting to you. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. Notice this. Who shall change our vile body? Did you see that? Vile body. That's why we have so much trouble. It's vile. I mean, boy, it's a mess. Sinful. That it may be, watch it now, fashioned like unto his glorious body. I want you to pay attention to that. Now let me read it again. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned or made like? Now when you fashion somebody, you build it around something. Fashion, but the Bible tells us what it's fashioned as. Like unto his glorious body. You see that? We are going to have a body fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. The Bible also says, and let me just turn there, 1 John 3:2. Read it this morning, beloved. Now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. You see that? We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So the passages are clear. Now we don't have all the answers to this glorious body, but the Bible gives us a lot of information. The Bible's clear. We are going to have a body like Jesus after the resurrection. Now knowing this, all we have to do is study the body of our resurrected Savior. And you and I will find out tonight what kind of body we're going to have. Now, means by studying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can see the future body that we are going to have. I don't know about you, but I want a body like Jesus, patterned after him. I'm not interested in these guys that can lift weights. I'm not interested in that. I don't want to look like that. Amen? I mean, I don't want my body fashioned after some singer. I'm not interested in that. What I want is the body like what he's got. Amen? I mean, I can't lift weights anyway. Amen? Not very heavy. But thank God I won't have to worry about that. I want a body patterned after the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, our glorious body will be like the body of Christ. Secondly, our glorious body will be a body, watch it now, of flesh and bone. Did you hear me? Flesh and bone. Scripture, Luke 24 and verse 39. Luke 24 and verse 39. Luke 24 and verse 39. Boy, I like this. This is super stuff here. Notice the Lord Jesus Christ, when he resurrected, he goes to the disciples and he says, verse 39, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. Glory. Handle me. And see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Do you see that, folks? In other words, you got bone in your body now, but you're going to have bones in your body when you have your glorious body. Now, this body will have substance. The Lord Jesus Christ, he could be touched. He could be handled. He had a skeletal system, which gives the body height and gives the body depth. In other words, our new glorified body is a body of flesh and bones. Amen. Why does it have flesh? The flesh gives the body its appearance. Amen. I mean, Job knew about this. Let me just jump over here. You don't, scripture I was looking at earlier. Job 19 and verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Do you realize that Job said this before the New Testament was ever available? "And that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." You see that? I'm talking about in the Old Testament, and Job is considered the oldest book in the Old Testament. A lot of folks don't know that. Here, Job talks about in his flesh, he will get to see the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, we said number one, our glorious body will be a body like Christ. We said number two, our glorious body will be a body of flesh and bone. Now, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, our glorious body, ladies and gentlemen, will be recognizable. Will be recognizable. Now, this is interesting. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as also I am known." You see, a lot of people feel we will look like Jesus. But I want you to know that we're not clones. We're not going to look like Jesus, but we will be recognizable. In other words, we will be able to recognize each other. I think that's great. We'll have a body like Jesus, but he's not going to have a million folks that look like Jesus. In other words, the way you look, your recognizable way of being recognized, is the way you will look in heaven. You see, each of us in here has his own distinct characteristics. I am the son of Jack and Helen Dabdu. All right? Jack Dabdu's son. Let me use my father here for just a minute. I don't totally look like him, but I have many of his characteristics. He's dark-complected, I'm dark-complected. He's got brown eyes, I've got brown eyes. He's got black hair, I've got black hair. In other words, I have some of his characteristics. Now, God is my Heavenly Father. And by the way, I have some of his characteristics also. In other words, I love the Bible, I love the church, I love to pray, I love to preach. All these things. But I am going to be like him, in one sense. I'll have that glorious body, but I will look like Paul Dabdu in heaven. Now, the Bible talks about just as each star is different, so will our glorified body. Over here at 1 Corinthians 15. 15. And verse 41. "There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differed from another in glory." Now watch this. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a," watch it now, "spiritual body." There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. In other words, what he's saying there, that the stars are not even the same. Can you imagine all the folks in heaven having their own looks, but yet they will have a body glorious like the Lord Jesus Christ? Now the new knowledge, we're going to have a new knowledge that we will have that will enable us to know everyone. I like that. Do you realize you're going to have a knowledge like you've never had before? There's nobody going to have to come up to Rob and say, let me introduce you to Timothy. You're going to know who he is. No one will have to come to you and introduce you to Jesus. I guarantee you'll know who he is. You're not going to have anybody introduce you to the Apostle Paul. You'll know who he is. And we will have a knowledge. In other words, knowledge like the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be able to know people that we have never met before. I like that. All right, let's go on. Number four, our glorious body will be a body in which the Spirit dominates. The Spirit dominates. At 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 44, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now right now we are in a body that the flesh most of the time dominates. Sometimes it is our greatest battle, isn't it? I mean, you know why? Because the desires of the flesh are all the time trying to overcome the spiritual that's in our body. Now, the Bible tells us over here in the book of James, James chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. I don't have my Bible marked, so you might find it faster than me. James chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. The Bible says in James 1, 13 and 14, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted, why? When he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. You see that? So that's our problem. This body that we have tonight, even though it is saved, even though it is born again, even though we're going to go to heaven, right now, the spirit usually submits to the flesh. That'll get clear as we go along. You see, the flesh says, don't go to church. And the spirit says, go to church. Now, one's going to win over the other. But the trouble is, the flesh dominates right now. And it doesn't have to dominate, but most of the time it does because we have lived in this flesh for a while. The flesh says, think immoral things. You know how it is, even your mind sometimes will mess you up. You'll think things you shouldn't think, and you'll beg, God, forgive me even for thinking like that. You say, what's happening? It is the flesh dominating the spirit. The flesh says, don't read your Bible, watch television. We've been there. Watch television, don't pray. Go ahead and sleep in. Don't worry about coming to church. You can go tonight, you know. Or you watch tomorrow what's going to happen. The flesh is going to say, boy, now, you can hear Brother Paul on Sunday anytime. So just stay on and relax and get the tapes. And that's what a lot of folks are going to do. Amen. Now, you say, what's happened? That's the way the flesh operates right now. The flesh cannot stand preaching. The flesh doesn't like what's going on tonight. The flesh doesn't get excited. It is the Spirit of God that's in our body tonight that wants to do what's right. That when it tries to lead us in the right direction, we're either going to listen to the Spirit of God or we're going to listen to the flesh. One of them are going to dominate. Doesn't always have to be. It takes a strong spiritual person to win over the flesh. But even when we defeat the flesh, it is still a battle, isn't it? The Bible says in Mark 14 and verse 38, watch and pray, Jesus says, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. We know that, don't we? Praise the Lord. This battle will soon be over, and our new glorified body will have such a strong spirit that the flesh will always then submit to the spirit. We are flesh and bones. But when we have that new glorified body, do you realize that All of a sudden, the flesh submits to the spirit. Isn't that something? It seems now that the flesh dominates the spirit. But one day, the flesh is going to be led by the Spirit of God all the time. I'm looking forward to that, ladies and gentlemen. Now, there's something else. Let's look over in Luke 24 at something else. Luke 24. I told you now, this is I'm trying to preach, but I got to teach it too. Luke 24. I'll show you something. Luke 24. We're going to start reading with verse 30. But I want to say number 5. Our glorious body will be unlimited by time, space, and even gravity. Amen. Our glorious body will be unlimited by time, space, or even gravity. Now notice this in verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. In other words, this is after Jesus was crucified. And their eyes were open. And they knew him, watch it now, and he vanished out of their sight. Did you see that? They knew him and he vanished out of their sight. Just like that. He left. Boy, that right there gets me excited. Yeah. I mean, vanished out of their sight. Let me put this thing together. All right, he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, verse 32, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Boy, I like that. Jesus teaching, the resurrected Jesus teaching them the scriptures. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. But he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do you thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands. Look at my hands, he says, and my feet. That it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. In other words, Jesus was able to appear and vanish right before their eyes. Now jump on over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Look at verse 19. And I'll preach a while. John 20 and verse 19. John 20 and verse 19. All right. We'll start with verse 18. John 20 and verse 18. Jesus here is resurrected. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now we'll look at verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, watch it now, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Verse 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, look at this, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Now believe your Bible tonight. Believe your Bible tonight. I showed you at the beginning in Philippians that we're going to have a body fashioned like the glorious body, like the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. This body, like I said, will be our glorious body will be unlimited by time, space, and even gravity. Jesus was able to appear and vanish right before their eyes. And by the way, this also happened in the midst of closed doors. Do you realize you're going to be able to go through doors? You're going to be able to vanish anytime you want? Boy, there's sometimes some of you wives would like to vanish, wouldn't you? Amen? But I guarantee you one thing. You'll be able to vanish. You'll be able to go through a door. You'll be able to get and go any place that you want to go to with that glorious body. Jesus Christ could travel by the will of the Spirit. Right now it's the will of the flesh most of the time. And the Spirit in our body is dependent on that flesh. I mean, the Spirit of God is transported by the flesh. But one day the flesh is going to be transported by the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
Jesus could travel by the will of the Spirit. Right now, our spirit is within our flesh. The flesh transports the Spirit from place to place. Think about that. The Spirit within us, our flesh, and it transports the Spirit from place to place. In our new glorified body, the Spirit will transport the flesh. Totally the opposite. Now, you're not going to have wings.
That's right.
You're not going to be an angel. In fact, the Bible says we'll judge angels. Angels want to be like us. They don't have the privilege of experiencing the blood of Jesus Christ. They didn't have to be saved like you and I. Glory to God, I'm not going to be an angel. I'm going to be a person in heaven that's got a glorified body like the Son of God. And Jesus Christ was able to vanish anytime he wanted to. You couldn't lock him out. He was there anytime. And I like that. I'm going to have a body like Jesus. And I'm going to be able to go anywhere and through anything at any time, in any place. Gravity will not have any power over me. Glory to God, as long as my flesh is transported by the Spirit, it's going to be something special. Something great. I personally believe, opinion here, that this transportation is by thought. I don't have any scripture, but there's, in other words, you think where you want to be, and you're there. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, there's nothing can hold you back. You're not going to take hours to travel from heaven to another place. I mean, you'll be able to go wherever you want to, and just think where you want to go, and you're there. I like that. That's a good thought anyway. All right, number six. Our glorified body will be an eternal body. Jump on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. You're going to like this. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Notice that the body we're going to have is eternal in the heavens. Man has nothing to do with this body. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Ever desire to have that glorified body? That's normal. If so be that, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, in other words, referring to the flesh, do groan, being burdened. Sometimes I'm burdened to have this new body. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. All right, the body, in other words, will be, our glorious body will be an eternal body. Now, what do you mean by that, preacher? Number one, this body will never wear out. The aging process will never affect this body, ladies and gentlemen. Today, society spends billions of dollars trying to help us to look younger and to look better. But I want you to know, you won't have to worry about that because the aging process will have no power over you. I remember when I was a teenager, boy, I could jump out of bed, Hilda, and I could jog. It wouldn't bother me. Now when I jump out of bed, it's snap, crackle, and pop to the bathroom. Amen? Amen. It's different now. I mean, the aging process, whether we like it or not, ladies and gentlemen, is working on all of us. Amen. We will always, watch it now, look youthful. Youthful. Somebody said, will Grandma look 95 and have all of those wrinkles? No way, Jose. You're going to have a body like Jesus? When Jesus was crucified, he was about 33 years old. Now, time is of no essence in heaven. You're not going to be 33 years old per se. It's no age in heaven, you say. But Jesus, to give you an idea of how we're going to look or what about what age, if we're going to have a body like Jesus, he was around 33 years old. In other words, that was considered the perfect age. Youthful. So whatever age, which is none in heaven, but whatever appearance the Lord Jesus Christ has, we will be that type of body. So if he was around 33 years old, in my opinion, that's you look a little bit, you know, at 33, people are not old. They're relatively young. We still consider that youthful. So when he appeared to his disciples, ladies and gentlemen, he appeared at that same age. That's where I'm getting this from. That's what he looked like. They recognized him. They recognized him as a 33-year-old man, though in heaven, there's no such thing as 33 years old. Think about that now. But when you looked at Jesus, he appeared like he did when he was crucified. To give you some idea of what you're going to get when you get to heaven. Going to look like the Lord in that respect, but you will look like you. A young, youthful person. Think back, some of you that maybe back in your early 30s and look at yourself at home in a picture. You'll look better than that. Amen? They're going to recognize you. You're going to be able to be identified. Folks are going to know who you are. Our glorious body will be an eternal body. Never wears out. Number 7. Our glorious body, our glorified body, that is, will be a glorious body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me read that to you. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 43. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 43. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 43, talking about this body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. That's what I want you to see. Well, you can see it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. I like that too. Now, what does glorified mean? I looked that up. It means several things. It means beautiful. Your glorified body, ladies, are going to be beautiful. You have to worry about Max Factor or Avon. You don't have to put the paint on to look a lot better. Now, we're not against that. Amen. I think it's good. I'm glad somebody thought of that. Amen. Makes you ladies just look 100% better. Amen. Amen. Did that come out right? I better watch what I'm saying here tonight. Amen. Have all these women after me, amen? I don't think any man's against a little bit of lipstick and a little bit of eyeshadow. I mean, we're all that are married. We know how our wives look in the morning, don't we? Amen? Without the makeup. And I always tell her she still looks good. That keeps me in the safe area, amen? But glorified means beautiful. It also means bright. Right. Now I'm going to get leading to something now. Don't miss this. Even to a point of shining. Now, Matthew 17, if you remember, you don't have to turn there, and I'm not going to turn there, but you read it sometime. Jesus went up with Peter, James, and John, or they went up with him to the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Bible says his face shined. I like that, folks. Read it sometime in Matthew chapter 17, starting with verse 1. Acts chapter 9 and verse 3, we find that the apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, when he got saved, the brightness of the Lord Jesus Christ blinded him for a period of time. Now, I'm not saying that we are going to outshine Jesus Christ. I know better than that. But I believe we're going to shine. The Bible tells us in Daniel 12 and verse 3, And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Daniel 12:3. I believe God is going to show off his attribute of grace throughout all eternity. I want you folks to know something tonight. When you look at me, you are seeing a product of grace. One day God's going to get to show off his grace. This is what my son's blood did. When he says, these are the products of my son, I'm going to be there. Amen? Amen. We are going to shine that God's grace was sufficient.
Amen.
We're living in a day when people think that you can get saved any way you want to get saved. They teach you can get saved by being a Baptist or being a Catholic or by being a Methodist or by being a Presbyterian, and they try to put different ways to outshine God. But I want you to know something. If you want to shine one day, if you want to go to heaven, it's going to have to be God's way, and God's way is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day God's going to show off his grace, that it was sufficient to save every one of us. We are not, watch it now, the source of light. We are a reflector. Jesus is the light. Let me go and discuss. Let me give you an illustration. The moon is not a light. The sun's light reflects on the moon, and that light comes from the moon to the face of the earth. But the moon gets its light from the sun, and the moon is a reflector. Our new glorified body, ladies and gentlemen, will be a reflector of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day we're going to shine. We won't outshine him, but we will be his reflector. And one day God is going to show us off. And God wants you and I now in this life, in this body, to shine just a little bit. And he wants his light to reflect off of us today in this life. Now, it's hard to do because we live in this old wicked, dirty flesh, this old rotten flesh. But God wants you and I to be a reflector even now. But the trouble is today, most of us, our lamps are dim because of the dirt in our life. You know how you get yourself cleaned off? You come down to the old-fashioned altar and confess your sins to God. And he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad that whatever dirt I have in my life, that the Lord Jesus Christ could come and he could cleanse me. Then I'll be able to be a reflector. I'll be able to shine bright because his light is shining on me now. But one day, you won't have to worry about the temptations. You won't have to worry about the battles, ladies and gentlemen. Because one day we're going to be perfect. Did you hear me? Perfect. Because we'll have a body fashioned like the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, this new body will not be troubled with the things this body is troubled with. There'll be no more blindness. No more aches, no pains, no colds, no cancer, no baldness. Anybody interested in that one? No baldness. I went and got a haircut yesterday. I was talking to Robbie yesterday. I said, it's one of the few things I got when I hit 50. I still got my hair. Amen? I don't know how long it's going to last. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, when you pastor, you lose your hair. I don't know. I guess I'm enjoying it. Amen? But that may change next year, so I'm not going to brag too much. Amen? No colds, no cancer, no baldness, no deafness, no heart trouble, no tumors. Won't have to worry about going to a doctor and say, doctor, tell me what's wrong with me. I've got this lump. Glory to God. You'll not have to worry about that because you will have a glorious body fashioned like the Lord Jesus Christ. And this body will no longer be vile.
Yeah.
Woo, glory. You know, vile. Boy, I don't like that word, but that's what the Bible says about it. We're vile. I mean, that's a terrible body to have. No wonder it gives us such a fit. But this body that'll never have any trouble truly is a glorified body. And one day I'm going to get it, and I want to use it to praise the one that made it possible.
Amen.
We're here tonight to praise him. But boy, just think of that glorious body with no restrictions.
Amen.
No restraint. Nothing to hold it back. Perfect. Glorious. Just like the body of Christ.
Amen.
We'll be able to praise our Heavenly Father. That's why now we should stop and realize just how fortunate we are. If you're saved tonight, you ought to give to him back as much as you can. Be put out just a little bit once in a while for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's worth it, because he was sure put out for you and me. Well, there's your message. Our new glorified body. And I hope that this will change your life, or either get you excited about what you're going to get one day.
Amen.
Hey, if you're in this room and you've never been saved, I'd get saved for many reasons, but one reason is because you don't want to be left out in the rapture. And secondly, you don't want to miss out on that glorious body. Aren't you tired of fighting sin? Aren't you tired of being defeated? Aren't you tired of trying and trying and trying and failing many times, and you try again and you fail, and you have to keep asking God to forgive you? Well, I want you to know something. If you get saved, you will have that problem that I just described. You'll be confessing sin the rest of your life. You'll be trying, and then you're going to do better. Then you'll fail, but then you confess your sin, and you try again. But one day, you'll never have that problem. Because Jesus' body, he never sinned one time. I won't even think bad. You know, I mean, I like that idea of never having to worry about an evil thought. It's be worth it for you tonight. Whether you be a teenager or an adult, if you're not saved, we're going to give an invitation here, Brother Robert, and he'll help y'all to get ready to lead us in a song. You ought to come up tonight if you're not saved and get saved. If you are saved tonight, maybe you've learned something tonight. You say, "Preacher, I got to come and thank my Lord for what I am going to get, because I sure don't deserve it." Even if it's a prayer of thank you, you ought to come. Now, if you want to be saved, you come and tell me, "Preacher, I want to be saved," so I can get somebody to show you how to be saved. All right? As we sing, what page, Brother Robert?
All right, student, you've heard the teaching on the rapture and on our new glorified body. I trust that both of them were a blessing to you. Now, we're ready to take test number one. In eschatology 1. What I want you to do is go back and review your notes, restudy the material, master it. And when you think you're ready, say a little prayer, break open your sealed tests, and take it on your honor before God. God bless you as you take your tests.